Okay. The Mishnah tells us, we said at the end of Chavtes Amud Beis, I hope people were able to get to the recording, HaMechabes HaNer Mibnei Shum Esyar Mibnei Goy Mibnei Lisne Mibnei Chiruach Ra Mibnei Achol Sheishan Pater. Someone who puts out the candle by accident, although this would apply, whatever. That's always how we talk about things. So then they would be Pater if they did so, because they're worried about non-Jews who are going to, you know, come after them because they put a light on during their holiday, or they're worried about thieves, or they're worried about bad smells for the sick person who's sleeping. So that would all be pater. The reason that it's pater is a very important machlokas, or what's underneath is a very important machlokas, is something called malacha she'en sricha legufa. When you do an activity which is not for the purposes of that activity, meaning when the Gemara tells, when the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to light a fire and you're not allowed to extinguish a fire, the extinguishing of the fire is specifically, in the Torah's terms, in order to create the charcoal. This we're going to talk about later in the Gemara, but that was the whole purpose of extinguishing fires in the Mikdash. So if the purpose of your extinguishing is not so that you can get charcoal, so then that's not the full extent of the malacha. So that's what we call a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. You're doing the activity, but you're not doing it for the purpose that the Torah says so. So therefore the question is, when you're putting out the fire for the purposes of fear for a non-Jew or fear of thieves, so then you're not doing it for the purpose that the Torah says. You're not doing it for the charcoal that comes afterwards, and therefore it would be presumably not chayev to the fullest extent. There are those, however, that say that even if you were to put it out, but the reason is not good enough or whatever, so then it would still be chayev. So that's a lot of what's going on here. So the Gemara, the Mishnah just then said, if you're only worried about you want to save up your candle, you're saving up the oil, or you're saving up the wick, so then you're chayev. Because that's not a good enough reason. Rabbi Yossi puts bechulan chutz min apsila. Rabbi Yossi says you're not obligated for any of them, because for all of those you're not going to be actually for the sake of the charcoal. The only time that he would say that you have chiyuv is chutz min apsila. If you're doing so that you can protect the wick or save the wick, mipnei shehu osa pecham. When your focus is on the wick, so then you're clearly wanting the charcoal to result, and therefore he says you're chayiv for that. So now let's go through a little details on how to apply this, and then we'll go on to an unbelievable tangent, which you won't believe why we're going into. But here we go. Mitzkatani seifa chayiv. From the fact that the end of the Mishnah says chayiv, shma mina Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, it makes sense that it's Rabbi Yehuda. Why would that be the case, that it's Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds that if you do something on Shabbos, so then, even if it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, you're still going to be chayev. Okay? So that's what the Mishnah had said at the end. Kachas al ner, when you're doing it to get rid, to save the oil, or to save the candle, even though you don't care for the charcoal, you're still chayev. So that's seemingly according to Rabbi Yehuda, who in general, as we've seen before, is the person or is of the opinion that he's more stringent. He's more stringent about Shabbos halachos when it came to muktzah, and here also when it comes to malacha shein tzricha legufa. Also when it came to davar she'ein miskavein, right, when you're dragging the bench. We saw that also. Fine. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's more chamor. So Rabbi Yehuda says you'd be chayiv. Presumably the Mishnah, when he says chayiv, is saying chayiv because you are chayiv, even though you're doing it for a different purpose of the original malacha's intent. Okay, so Reisha b'mayaskinu. So what's the situation of the Reisha? What's the situation of the beginning of the Mishnah? If the end of the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda and you're chayev, even when you're doing it for a different purpose, so why does the beginning of the Mishnah say pater? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the beginning of the Mishnah should be chayev because you're doing it for a different purpose also there. So ibechol sheish bo sakana. If you're going to say, oh, it's because the sick person is really, really sick. They're so sick that it's to the extent that they might have a life-threatening illness. So if that's the case, so then why does it say pater? Pater, as we know, is a word which means chayev on a rabbinic level. You're still obligated rabbinically. So now the Gemara says mutter mi bayalei. It should have said completely mutter. Why does it say pater? Ve'ichol she'en bo sakana. And if it's talking about a person who's sick, but it's not a life-threatening illness, they just have like a headache or something. So chayev chatas mi bayalei. It should say chayev according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what's with the pater? So the Gemara says, no, le'olam b'chol ha'sheyesh b'sakana. Really, the whole Mishnah is talking about a person who's sick with a life-threatening illness. And therefore, it should say, Ubedin hu delisni mutter. It should say mutter. It should say it's completely okay. Va'aydi, however, debay limitsi seif achayiv, taninam eresha pater. This is one of those things you just have to swallow in terms of how the Gemara talks. Sometimes when it uses the word, the verbiage of chayiv, it will use the same converse form of pater, as opposed to mutter, which is not exactly, you know, those two things don't usually always go together. But the fact that it says chayiv later means they had to say the word pater beforehand, but that pater really means mutter. Okay. Just the way that the Mishnah talks sometimes. But wait a second, Rabbi Oshia has a statement that says that you'd be pater for someone who's sleeping in the same sense. It sounds like he's talking about the same thing. So you know, it says no in that situation. That's a situation where we're talking about a person who's sick, but not too sick. And therefore, you would not be allowed to put out the fire. But when you put out the fire, you're not doing it for the original purpose of the Torah. And it's going to Rabbi Shimon, who says you're only pater aval aser. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you do it for a different purpose, you'd be chayv completely. But according to Rabbi Shimon, if you do it for a different purpose, you'd be pater, it's be chayv midrabana. Okay. Sha'ol she'ela zu le'ela mi Rabbi Tanchum d'minoy. So, here we go. They asked this question of Rabbi Tanchum from Nevi, from it says in the Hebrew Noi. So, are you allowed mahu lechabos butzina denura mekame biisha b'shabasa? Are you allowed to extinguish a lamp in front of a sick person on Shabbos? Okay, just more Aramaic words. So he says like this. Before I answer the question, let me give you some interesting stories. Psach v'amar. This is very strange. It's not a typical thing the Gemara does. But this is how the story went. He said to him, An Shlomo, An Chachmasach, An Suchlanusach. He said, when it came to Shlomo HaMelech, they asked, where is your wisdom? Where is your foolishness? What is Suchlanusam? Where is your understanding? Okay, here it's like it's a Sechel. I don't know why. But sometimes tzichlos can mean foolishness. But okay, so lo dayacha shedvaracha sosrim divrei David avicha. It's not only the case that things that you say, Shlomo, are in contradiction to what your father said, David Hamelech. El shedvaracha sosrim zedze. Your own words contradict each other. David avicha amar lo hamesim yahaluka. That the deceased can no longer praise God. It sounds like a bad thing. V'at amarta, and you said v'shameach ani esamesu shekvar mesu, and you said that it's a good thing for people who died. I praise those who died. V'chazarta v'amarta, and then you said ki lekelav chai hu tov min ha'arei hames, and a live dog is better than a dead lion. So which one is it, Shlomo? Do you agree with your father? Do you agree with yourself? On the one hand, you're saying it's good for people to pass away, and it's the other thing you're saying it's bad for people to have passed away. So which one is it? So here we go on a long tangent. Lo kasha, hadikamar David lo amesim haluka hachikamar. When David HaMelech said that the deceased can no longer praise God, and it sounds like a bad thing, what he's saying is the following: Lo olam yasuk adam torah of mitzvos kodem shiamos. A person should learn as much as they can. They should do mitzvos as much as they can before they pass away. Shekev and shemes batum min haTorah min haMitzvos ein haKadosh Baruch Hu shavach bo. Because a person when they pass away cannot do any more Torah, can't do any more mitzvos, and they can't do any more praising of Hashem. That's what it means to praise Hashem. Means that they've lost the opportunities to add to the merit that they get. V'hainu dam Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan means when he said ma'ay dechsib ha'mesim chafshi, that the deceased are free. Kevin shemes adam nasa chafshi min haTorah min haMitzvos. They become free from doing the opportunity to do mitzvos and to learn Torah. That's what it means that the deceased are no longer able to praise God. That's in that way it's a bad thing. So what does it mean, Shlomo Melech, when it sounds like you say the opposite, that you're praising the deceased? So kishechatu Yisrael b'midbar amad Moshe l'vnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar kama tfilos v'sacharunim l'fanav lo nane. How many times did Moshe Rabbeinu make a plea to Hashem and he wasn't answered? Uch sha'amar, but however, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zechor la'avram li'yitzchak u'li'ako u'li'yisrael avadecha, miyad nana. when he says, this is after the Egel Hazav, he says, remember Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So then he was answered. So, it's a rhetorical question. It basically means, that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he says, I praise the deceased who have already deceased because they have a special extra zchus, a special extra merit that they're able to get their prayers answered. So this is what it meant when it comes to Shlomo HaMelech saying he praises the deceased. It's referring to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who were already deceased but were able to sway Hashem's favor to allow the Jewish people to gain forgiveness at their Egel Hazav. Davar Acher, another way to look at it is like this. Menhagel shel olam melech basar v'dam gozer gezerah. A king in a regular in the physical world, in a mortal king would make a decree. Safik mekayim enosah, safik ein mekayim enosah. You don't know if it actually is going to happen or not. Ve'imtim selom mekayim enosah. And even if you say it's going to happen, bechayav mekayim enosah, b'moso ein mekayim enosah. As long as that king is alive, so they'll keep that decree alive. But once that king dies, who knows? They're going to throw it out the window. The next king's going to do their own thing. So Gemara then says, "V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu," but when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Gazer kama gzeros v'tikin kama takanas v'kayamos hem la'olam la'olam yolamim." When Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana, when Moshe Rabbeinu made gzera, so that still holds. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said to do, we still do it today. V'lo yafa amr Shlomo shvechani sameisim v'gomer. Does it not make sense, therefore, that Shlomo Melech says, "I praise the deceased," meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, whose decrees stay much longer than even a mortal king. His decrees would stay. Okay. Davar Acher, another way to understand it from Shlomo HaMelech. V'shabech ani esameisim k'di Rav Yehuda Amarav. D'am Rav Yehuda Amarav, ma'i d'chsiv asei imi os l'tov v'yurus yisona v'yevoshu. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, do with me a good sign and my enemies will be embarrassed? Abar Davar L'den Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shlomo, m'chol li'al oso avon. Forgive me for that sin. Who is that? What's that referring to? It's referring to Bathsheba. For people that are familiar with that. Interesting, how does this work with other Gemaras that say that David HaMelech didn't sin? Not for now. But David HaMelech says that he says to Hashem, forgive me for that sin. So Amar lo macholach, I've forgiven you. That's what Hashem says. I've forgiven you for doing what you did to Bathsheba or her husband. Amar lo aseimi os b'chaya. Make a sign for me that I know that I'm forgiven. So Amar lo b'chayecha enim eldia. For whatever reason, Hashem said, I'm not going to give you a sign in your life. B'chaye Shlomo b'incha ani modia, but in the life of Shlomo HaMelech, I'm going to make it clear that you have been forgiven. So what happened? K'shebana Shlomo's Beis Hamikdash b'kish lachnas Aron Beis Hakadosh Gadashim. When Shlomo HaMelech came to the Beis Hamikdash, he says, "I want to bring in the Aron to the Kodesh Hakodashim, the Holy of Holies." So Davku Sha'arim Zabezeh, and the gates of the Kodesh Hakodashim crashed into each other. So you might be thinking to yourself, "Wait a second. There weren't gates in the Kodesh HaKodashim." So that's one of the interesting nuances in this Gemara. I think I saw, maybe even Rav Moshe Feinstein mentioned something. He was basing you talking about other halachos, obviously. But he said, you see from this Gemara that there were actual gates at the Kodesh HaKodashim, which is interesting. You don't find that description anywhere. But either way, Dav Gushar Mizabizet Amar Shlomo, Esrim V'arba Arunanos V'lonana. He said 24 praises in his songs and it didn't work. Gates open and allow the honored king to enter. So it sounds almost like he's talking about himself, right? Allow the king to enter. So the gates of the Kodesh HaKodeshim started to run after Shlomo HaMelech to try to gobble him up because he was implying that he's so important that he could open the gates. So Amaral Mihuzamel Hakavod. What do I mean by when I say the king of honor? Amar lehu Hashem Yizuz v'gibor, the Hashem who's strong and mighty. So Chazav Amar, and then Moshe Shlomo Melech went again to clarify. Su sharem ershechem usub steilola olam v'yola melech hakavod miuzam melech hakavod Hashem tzvakos hu melech hakavod zela v'lo na'ana. And still Shlomo Melech clarified that he's talking about open the gates for the king, Hashem the king, because he's bringing in the Aron.
So are we saying at this point all these references to gates are gates in the Beis HaMikdash as opposed to
right what now, we've
understood till now that it's gates of Shemayim?
Right, so there's a literal understanding and then there's the figurative understanding. I think the Gemara is giving us a little background story that could give meaning to this to these psukim. I wouldn't necessarily say that this is the literal understanding, though. It could be, but it's not necessarily the case. As the Rambam talks about, not every agadita is supposed to be taken literally, but some agadita are supposed to be taken literally, so we can't know for sure. But that's how I would say. Hey, mister. Oh, you have some teddy bears. Okay. So the Gemara then, so the Gemara then says, Be'osa sha. Sorry, I've skipped. When he says the pasuk later on in Tehillim, I don't know when he said it exactly. Oh, it's the next pesukim. The next pesukim say Hashem. Although it's not. Wait a second. That's the next pesukim. No, it's later. It's in Divrei Yamim. So he says when he says. Remember David, your servant. So then, Miyadana, right? So that was basically the. Oh wow, Mickey Mouse, yeah. That was basically the time where basically was showing forgiveness to David HaMelech. You want to show everybody? Okay, this is what we're dealing with here. We've got Donald and Mickey. Okay, all right. Let's continue. Biosasha. At that point, Nevchu Pnei Kolsoni David Kshuli Kedera. Everyone who was against David HaMelech heard the story, and they were basically they basically became ashamed. They turned black like the bottom of a pot. Okay, v'yedu kol am ha'am v'chol Yisrael shemechol gadosh baruch hu also avon. Everyone realized that Hashem forgave David for what he did with Bathsheba. This is also another possible interpretation of the fact that Shlomo HaMelech said, "I am praising those who deceived those who passed away," meaning David HaMelech. Who was forgiven? Yeah, Donald. V'hainu dechsev. That's what it means in the pasuk. Bayom hashmini shilach ha'sa'am bivarchu ha'samelch v'elchol alayim smeich v'tov v'leiv al kol ha'tova asher asa Hashem l'David avdo u'l'Yisrael amo. When it says specifically that they went home and they were joyful and they were happy about everything Hashem did to David and to Shlomo, it's referring to the forgiveness of David HaMelech from Hashem. Okay. Vayechol aleihem, they walked to their tents. Shematzu nishosem betara. That's what it means in the pasuk when it says they went to the tents. They were happy because their wives were ready for them to for them to have relations. They were tahora. Smeichem, they were happy. Shnanu meziv hashchina because they were able to benefit from Hashem. V'tuve leiv shnis abri nishosem kol shel kol echav echav v'yod zachar. Each of the women became pregnant and had boys. Okay, we'll leave that for a different time. And all the good things that Hashem did for David, that Hashem forgave him for that sin, and to the Jewish people, that Hashem forgave them for their possible sin on Yom Kippur. What exactly does that mean? For those who are familiar with Tanakh, which is not me, but I know the commentaries in this Gemara, which basically said that in order that part of the celebration for the Beis HaMikdash, the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, happened on Yom Kippur, and they ate and they drank. Which is very interesting. The Gemara here says that the achaluhu avon Yom Kippur, that they were forgiven for a sin. It's very interesting because it was a whole discussion about what they should do. And Shlomo HaMelech decided that it was more important to celebrate the Beis HaMikdash than to fast on Yom Kippur. So why is that considered a sin? So the commentaries talk about what exactly the problem was.
The funny thing is that the Sefer Malachim just glosses completely over it. I mean, it just glosses over it. There's zero mention. It just takes place the first 10 days of Tishrei or whatever it is, and it just never mentions that this is Yom Kippur.
Right. And Chazal obviously had the interpretation that Shlomo HaMelech talked about it with people and decided that it was okay. So the interpretation of the Gemara that I saw is that some people, in order for it to be a real justified celebration on Yom Kippur, you have to do it for Hashem. You have to really be celebrating the Beis HaMikdash. Some people just use it as an opportunity to party. They didn't care for the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what this Gemara is talking about. The avon, the sin for people who were celebrating on Yom Kippur with the wrong intentions, they were also forgiven. Why were they forgiven is a different question. But that's what it means here. Okay. Utzkamer Shlomo. Here comes another interesting tangent. Utzkamer Shlomo, when Shlomo said, Ki lekelev chai hu tov min ha'ariyei hames, kedrei Rav Yehuda amar Rav. When Shlomo HaMelech said that the dog in Koheles, the live dog is better than the dead lion. So it's like the following: Dam Rav Yehuda amar Rav, Ma'ay dechsev hodiyin Hashem kitzi umidas yamai mahi eda mechadel ani. So David HaMelech said, Hashem, teach me when I'm going to, when is my end? And what is the amount of life I'm going to live? What are the numbers of my days? And also tell me, when should I be afraid? Meaning, he's asking, when am I going to die? So Amar David Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Hodieni Hashem Kitzi. He says, tell me my end. So Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't tell people the end of their lives. I don't tell you how many days you're gonna live. When should I be afraid? You should be afraid on Shabbos.
You're okay.
You should be afraid on Shabbos, right? This is maybe people know this Gemara. So almost back on Shabbos. So Shlomo Melch said. David HaMelech said, let me die on Sunday. So he said, no, Amar lo, kvar higi malchus Shlomo bincha. Sunday is when Shlomo is supposed to take over. Ve'ein malchus nogas b'chaver tafil k'mo nima. You can't overlap kingships. So if Shlomo starts, you've got to already be gone. So almost be'erev Shabbos. So let me die early. Let me die on Friday. Why would you ruin my Shabbos? Right? So Amar lo, it's also because I think that maybe they couldn't bury him properly right away, things like that. So he says, so Amar lo, ki tov yom chatzirech me'alef. He says, oh, now I got you. I'm going to use your own words against you. You said that the best thing, one day is better in your house, Hashem. Meaning when you're davening and you're learning, one day davening and learning in Hashem's house is better than 1,000 days of not davening and learning. So tov li yom echad shata yoshev yosef gator me'alef olo sha'atzir shlomo bin chalakir lafana al-gabi ha-mizbeach. Hashem says, one more day with you, meaning I can't kill you on Friday, because I want you to live on Friday and Shabbos so that you can learn and daven one more day, because your learning and davening for one day is better than all, is better than 1,000 karbanos that Shlomo is going to bring. Wow. 1,000 karbanos.
So a king is not allowed to give up his reign while living, according to that?
He can't overlap. This is not saying.
But that's what I'm saying. So all he had to do is step back and continue to live, according to this.
Oh, that would be an interesting kasha. I don't know. Meaning he could have just said, okay, I'm not king anymore. Right. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I hear that.
My impression is this is something unique to David and Shlomo. There's no principle in halacha set down.
Right.
About this. This is really something unique.
Right. So David HaMelech had a lifelong contract and he couldn't get out of it. I guess, I don't know. So the Gemara says then, Kol Yoma de Shabbasa Hava Yasef Igaris Kul Yoma. So therefore David HaMelech took it upon himself for all of Shabbos, the entire Shabbos, he's just going to sit and learn. And therefore, the background story is that when you sit and learn all day, Shlo Yikar Sirashi says, Lo Yikar B'malach HaMavas Yelav, Shatar Maginu Mimavas. The Gemara in Sota, I think we also saw a Gemara in Brachos like this, maybe? No, Gemara Kedusha, never mind. So that every day he would sit and he would learn all of Shabbos, and the Malach HaMavis can't touch you, can't hurt you if you're learning. So Hahu Yoma Dabai Lamina Lachate Nafshe. So the day came, the Malach HaMavis wanted to kill David HaMelech. So Kam Malach HaMavis Kamev Lo Yachalei, he couldn't kill him. Have a Pasuk Mipumei Begirsa. He didn't stop learning. Every single second David HaMelech was learning. So Omar Mai Avidlei. He says to, I think, Hashem. So what am I supposed to do? So, Havalei Bustana Achore Bese. He had some kind of garden in the backyard. Asa Malach HaMavis Salku Bachish Bilane. So the Malach HaMavis came, and what did he? He chopped down the tree. He shook the trees. He climbed and shook the trees. Nafak Lemichsi. So then David HaMelech went out to go see. Interesting, the implication of this Gemara is that he's still learning when he goes out to look at the tree. Nafik Lemitzi, Hava Salik Bidarga, then he stepped on a step that he was going up to his garden with. Ibchiz Darga Mituse, and the step gave out. Ishtik Vinach Nafshe. It was after that, only after he stepped on the step, and it broke, and he fell. Did he fall? No, he was startled. He just got startled from it. That momentary silence that he wasn't learning. So that is that's when the Malach HaMavis killed him. Interestingly enough, the Mepharshim say he didn't die from a fall. He died peacefully like anyone else. It's just that this made him stop learning. That's all it did. Yeah, Elka.
Can I flip in here now?
Yeah, you can go get one. You bring it to me, and I'll take it off you. Shalach Shlomo Levei Midrasha. So Shlomo Melch sent the following question: Abba Meis Umutzal Bachama Uchlavim Shalbeis BaAbba Re'evim Ma'esa. This is, you gotta have to open your mind for this one. So he says, my father died, and he's now sitting in the sun. It's Shabbos, right? It's Shabbos day. I can't do anything with him. He's sitting in the sun. And then that's number question number one. What can I do? His corpse is just sitting there in the sun. Number two, Klavin Shalbeis Abra Avim. The dogs of my father are hungry. So Ma'asa, what can I do? Am I allowed to feed the dogs which don't belong to me? They're not under my jurisdiction. So both of those things are Muktzah Shilas. A dead body is Muktzah, and the dog is Muktzah to feed. So what should I do? Shlachule. They said to him, "Chasoch nevel v'hanoch of neklavim. Cut off some carcass and throw it to the dogs. That you're allowed to do. Unclear why. As long as I guess you don't touch the dogs. Va'avicha
hanoch. Are you sure that it's not his dogs?
What?
Are we sure it's not his dogs? Maybe he would be allowed to feed the dogs. It doesn't seem to say.
It says klavim shel beis
abba. Feeding the dogs, huh?
It says Klavim Shel Beis Abba, that they're the dogs of his father's house.
Dogs. Right, so he might have a chiv to feed them, but I don't know.
Maybe you're saying because he inherited the dogs.
Maybe.
Okay, I mean, it's possible. Why would he ask the question then? I don't know. We have to look into
it. No, so I think the question is simply, can he move his father? The dogs are going to eat the father.
You think so?
Yeah.
The problem is he's afraid of the dogs eating his father. But I mean, we're learning a halacha here that you can cut up an animal carcass that's difficult for dogs to eat whole, even if the animal died on Shabbos. That's what it says here.
Right. So it's
that is interesting.
Learning a nolad situation.
Yeah, that is a nolad situation. I don't know how to understand that, but either way, the way that he would deal with his father is hanachalav kikar otinak v'taltalo. You should place on the body a loaf of bread or a baby. These are only categorical terms. Make it useful. Put something on the body that's useful so that you can basically move the dead body with the useful thing that you're allowed to move on Shabbos. V'loyafa amar Shlomo ki lekelav chayhu tov min ha'ari hames. That first he had to take care of the dogs, and then he took care of his father. So that's what it's referring to in the pasuk, that the live dog is takes precedence over the deceased lion. That's what it means in the pasuk. Okay, very interesting Gemara. But now the Gemara says, "Ulinin she'elat she'elon kamechon." Oh, and about that question you asked me before, ner kriya ner. A ner is a ner. Nishmasu shel adam kriya ner. Mutav tichabe tichbe ner shel basav adam ibnei ner shel kadosh baruch hu. That you are able to extinguish a fire for the candle of a person's soul, because that takes precedence.
So long answer to a short question.
Yes, exactly. I'm not really sure what the purpose of the first part was. I guess because it was talking about death and stuff. Maybe, I don't know. Not exactly sure what the whole purpose of the introduction was, but. Moving on, some more interesting stuff. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishpei d'Rav. I've quoted this Gemara before in one of my early Shabbos shirim about whether or not there's a mitzvah to be happy. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda b'Reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishpei d'Rav. Big Shulchan Lignos Eber Kohelis V'Neishet Dvar V'Sos M'Dad Zeh. The Pesukim in Kohelis in Ecclesiastes are contradictory. U'Bimnei Ma Lo Ganzu. They wanted to get rid of it. They wanted to bury it. So they wanted to not show it to people. So they say, why didn't they get rid of it? The beginning and the end of Koheles are worthwhile for Torah purposes. So what's the point of someone who works so hard under the sun? The only things that are purposeless, the only things that are worthless, are the things that happen while the sun is out. But however, kodem shemesh, anything that came before the sun was created, so then there is worthwhile to their efforts, which is a reference to the Torah. The Torah was created before the world was created, and therefore if someone learns Torah, that does have an effect. That does have a benefit. It's not considered tachas ha-shemesh. Okay, so the Gemara then says, what about Sofo? Sofo de Bitter de Siv, Sof de Rakon, Shema, Esel, Kimi, Arabias, Mizusavi, Shmor, Kizekol Adam. The person should do mitzvahs. That is the entirety of the person. So, Ma Kizekol Adam, what does it mean? It's the entirety of the person. So, Amri Abi Elazar, Kol Ha'olam, Kulolo, Nivra, El, Bishvil, Zeh. The entire world was only created for this, for the Torah. Torah and mitzvahs, as the Pesuk says. That's the entirety of a person. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Amar Shakul Zekhnev Kol Olam Kulo. The Torah and the mitzvahs are more important than the entire... Okay, okay, okay. Come here. You're okay. Sorry, guys. You're okay. The entire purpose of the world, the Torah and the mitzvahs are more important, are just as important than the entire world. What? Okay, don't answer. Okay? Go get Ima. Shimon ben Azai Omer ve'amri la Shimon ben Zoma Omer. Some say Shimon ben Azai, some say Shimon ben Zoma. Don't worry, they don't know how to unlock the door. Lo nivra kol olam kulo el tzavos ala lazeh. The entire world is only important for the instruction of this, to tell people that.